You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
I got to tell you, this draft is catching my attention in every single way possible. This is as interesting as it gets. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and so much of it is around quarterback, because it always is. But so much of it this year is around who is going to trade up if they can trade up. And Joe, this morning at the owners' meetings, we found out that one team will absolutely listen where they are at the top of the draft. Gerard Mayo, the Patriots' new head coach, said that the Pats are still open to offers for the third pick. Quote, obviously, quarterback is definitely a priority. With that being said, we are still open to any type of deals that come our way. Now, look, it's his responsibility to say something like that. He's not going to come out and say that we are keeping our pick and we are not trading it and we are not doing anything else. However, it does feel like when you hear that from him, when you hear that there are calls being made to Washington, that maybe, just maybe, we're going to get something done to get somebody into the top three.
How much of this do you think is him trying to send a message versus just answering a question? I think you open this very well with the idea of, look, someone's going to ask him. You're not going to close it off and say, nah, we're not listening to any calls. We're confident in the pick, because they don't control anything. They're at three. They control nothing. So they can't be confident in anything because they have no idea what's going to happen in front of them. If they love Caleb Williams and they love Jaden Daniels and they love Drake May, then they're in a great situation because they can get one of those three. But I just find it fascinating that if they trade out, what's the plan at quarterback? Right now it's Jacoby Brissett on a one-year, $8 million deal. If you're trading down, that means you're not taking any of the top three guys, and it's probable to think that you won't end up landing J.J. McCarthy either. So what is the plan for this year, and then what's going to be the plan moving forward? Because Bob Kraft, the owner, has talked about the idea of how this is one of the most, this is the most highly anticipated draft that he's ever been a part of. And yeah, this is the highest they've drafted, you know, in the Belichick era, from what I understand. We haven't seen them sitting in the top three. So if Belichick's gone and Brady's gone and there's quarterbacks coming out and this is your opportunity with a new head coach and a new direction and a new future to bring in a new quarterback and start this thing off on the right foot, you'd think you'd want to do it. Now, if you don't like the quarterback options that are going to be there at three, I understand, but I would then have to ask, what is the plan at quarterback? Are we punting down the road and waiting to see what happens next year? Because that becomes very dangerous if Jaden Daniels and Drake May take the field this season and play good football. It was one thing to take Bryce Young, number one overall in Carolina. But that issue got far worse when C.J. Stroud played as well as he did. Mm-hmm. That sped up the clock on everybody in Carolina. And that's what's going to happen in New England. The clock is going to speed up on everybody if you pass on quarterbacks and they start playing well in year one.
Here's a little bit more from Gerard Mayo, including that comment to provide some more context. Here he is this morning, the Patriots head coach at the NFL owners meetings.
We sit at a very enviable spot at number three, where we could take someone at three, or, you know, if someone offers a bag, as we would say, a lot of first round picks, we definitely have to, you know, talk about those things as we continue to put together this team. You said it, there are holes on this team, but I would also say there will be people available going forward to fill those holes. The guaranteed way to win is to accumulate more picks. And so if we don't feel convicted at number three, to your point, like, we are willing to do that as well.
Joe, right now, if I had to ask you to put into a percentage chance that something happens, do you expect that either number two or number three. I'm taking number one out of it because I just don't see how they trade it now. But either number two with Washington or number three, will one of those two picks get traded either during or before the draft?
I would bet yes. I would bet the current order of Bears, Commanders, Patriots is not the order that drafts on the first three, for the first three on draft day. I'd bet one of them is gone because there's been enough leaking out that, you know, Washington's fielding calls and New England's fielding calls. If you're fielding calls and you want that out, put it like this. If I'm calling Washington, I'm not then calling Schefter to tell him I'm calling Washington, right? Like, yeah. Washington is going to call Schefter to let him know that they're taking calls to try to drum up interest. That's where that stuff comes from. So I don't see a situation in which you've got Washington getting calls and New England getting calls, and they both sit there and say, nope, not going to happen. We're going to stand pat because, honestly, you got a lot of teams that want to come up. The Patriots might not like Drake May. The Giants might love him. The Vikings might love him. The Broncos might love him. The Raiders might love him. That's four teams right there that are in need of quarterbacks that would probably be willing to give up picks to go get them, especially a team like Minnesota that already armed up by grabbing another first rounder. So I would bet that it is not the current order drafting in the top three on draft day.
See, I go the other way with this because I look at how these teams have prepared over the last couple of months for the draft. And we saw what happened in Washington. They traded away Sam Howell. And, you know, they bring in a quarterback who's going to put them in a spot that will just be a holder spot. It'll be somebody who is a serviceable backup to get them into position to then comfortably draft a quarterback. And I like the fact that Washington did that when they went out and did it a few weeks ago in signing in Marcus Mariota. I like the fact that Jacoby Brissett is a New England Patriot because that tells me, okay, he's a stopgap guy. These are stopgap guys. These are bridge guys, one guy to the next. They're the quarterbacks that you bring in when you are drafting a quarterback. It is a nice insurance policy. So that's why when you purchase that insurance policy, I'm a lot more skeptical that you're going to move out of that spot.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, that makes me think it's more likely than not that they are not going to trade out of those top three.
I'm very curious to know what maybe Minnesota's coming up to four with Arizona, and then that would mean you're still right in this situation because the top three remains intact. But yeah, the manner in which Minnesota has apparently botched this entire scenario, how you go out and acquire that first round pick, that additional first round pick, and then you don't immediately have the second part of this trade already laid out and done is beyond me. Because now you've sent up the message to everybody that you're coming up, but you didn't actually come up and make the deal yet. And we all know, what is it, Kevin O'Connell is entering year three, and he doesn't have Kirk Cousins. You don't have a lot of room here to operate. And that organization is clearly split on how they wanted to handle the future of Cousins. Some guys wanted to move on, some wanted to keep him. I don't know how they go ahead and just punt there. They could be the team that gets desperate in the eyes of those who don't believe in J.J. McCarthy, that they're going up to four to get him, because what else are you going to do? Like, if you're O'Connell entering year three, you can't have a bad year. They might look to just, if you have a bad year and you don't have a rookie quarterback, they're probably going to look to blow you out after this year and reboot everything with a new quarterback that can line up with the new head coach, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely
tough spot.
And that's where you get into these bad cycles, right? When you bring in the quarterback, it doesn't work in year one. The coach is on the hot seat anyway. We're going to blow it up. Then next year, here's the new coach. Here's another coordinator. We're going to try to make it happen. And it doesn't for whatever reason. Oh, we're trying another coordinator. Like, that's how these cycles with bad organizations work. Now, I do need to throw one thing out there, and you might find it a little bit rough from the other day. On Friday, J.J. McCarthy had his pro day. Came out of it, and I heard a lot of this. Did you see that 60-yard throw in the air that he made down the sideline to his buddy who's going to make the catch?
It's beautiful.
Man, did I get a Zach Wilson flashback.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. I mean, that was a throw that Wilson made a couple of years ago that everybody was fawning over. And I don't want to say that people made their decisions based on that, but there was an awful lot of talk about that performance at a pro day. And as Mel told us last week, pro days are absolute garbage.
Are a joke.
They are a joke. Said. That was his word.
There's nothing we can look, he can't control anything about that. He goes out, he makes the throws, we react. If we're reacting with shock and awe over this 60-yard pass, and we reacted with shock and awe over what Zach Wilson did, that's more our fault than it is his fault, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, yes, but again, pro days mean very little, and that kind of a throw that's going to get everybody's attention, that's going to get talked about, it becomes part of the bigger conversation. And it starts, it can seep in there and influence. Like, you can get sucked into that.
You'd have to be a real bonehead evaluator to get brought into that.
All right,
as a fan,
you can get
caught up because you tune in and you just hear about this stuff over and over. If you're showing up at a pro day and a throw like that is what puts it over the top, I don't know how the hell you got that job to begin with.
What means more? That throw for J.J. McCarthy, or what Jim Harbaugh has to say about J.J. McCarthy. Here's Jim, the Chargers head coach, on McCarthy and his pro day.
That was the best throwing day I've ever seen. And then, you know, hear coaches and GMs, you know, come up to me and say, hey, you know, great job with J.J. And once they were around him, I was hearing the stories about how he is on the board, how he is on the field, the little things, the intangibles. It was absolutely no surprise whatsoever, but there was raving. And it was great to hear, incredible here. I know it was sincere. It was unsolicited. Numerous GMs, numerous head coaches, you know, couldn't say enough good things. And it was, I mean, you could just see it, right? I mean, his pro day, well, that's literally, I'd never seen a better one.
That reminds me of, I'm not going to name him, but there's a politician out there where everything is the best, everything is the biggest, everything is the grandest. That's what that was. I mean, look, I got to be honest. There were like 42 NFL head coaches that came up to me and said how well J.J. McCarthy performed. And I'm not surprised. It's like, well, Jim, there's not 42 NFL teams. I don't. No. If I heard from 42, you're wrong. Wrong. You're fake news. Maybe that's a little tip as to what I'm comparing it to.
I just think Jim, like,
he's
all
back
that was
in his
missing,
guy. He's back in his guy.
Yes, I know. That's why I was saying what means more. And
neither. I'm not buying into any of it. He could be great, but one pass and his coach, the most biased human. I'd rather hear from McCarthy's family. That's what I'd rather hear from his direct family. Get me a sibling. Does he have any siblings who might talk a little trash? That's something we could learn more from than Harbaugh.
All that was missing from that quote was the very beginning. First of all, Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody. It's good to see you out here, March 23rd.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. He would be a guy who would say Happy New Year on March 23rd. He absolutely would be that kind of person. No doubt. The hard-hitting piece of analysis that only Charles Barkley could deliver. It's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 28 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. I'll tell you what, for good sound bites, it was an outstanding weekend. It really was. I couldn't get enough of some of the just head-shaking things that we heard. So, Joseph, it is time for a little bit of They Said What.
They Said What?
I have to believe one and one is three. I can't operate where one and one is two.
They Said What?
We're going to start with Kim Mulkey, the LSU women's head coach. Now, in case you missed it, there is a story coming out in the Washington Post that has been 2 years in the works on Kim Mulkey. Nobody is really aware of what specifically is addressed in the story. She had numerous times had turned down interview requests over the two-year period for the story, and obviously got a good hint what it was about when the reporter sent 10 questions to her last week for a response before it was published. So she launched a little preemptive strike on Saturday, where she just went off basically threatening to sue the Washington Post if anything that is untrue is published about her. And she said, Joe, that this was not going to affect her team at all. This is her yesterday after the team got off to a bit of a slow start.
No, listen, man, we're not going to let one sleazy reporter distract us from what we're trying to do. Absolutely not. My kids didn't even know I said that yesterday. That team's not involved in this. They were in shock when they saw all that on the internet. I don't take that stuff to my team.
Well, when she said that the team didn't even know, they would have known within minutes of her actually saying it because it was absolutely everywhere.
Yeah. when you hear that a story is coming that's 2 years in the making, that tends to lead me to believe it's probably quite well-researched. I have no idea what to make of this as of right now. I have no idea what we can even say about this for fear of the repercussions that could come once this comes out. But the way in which she's acting, if it's as false as it looks like it's going to be, wouldn't your lawyers already be involved trying to get a temporary injunction to shut something like this down? Right?
I would think so.
Like, you would think that would be what's happening right now, is that there would be action being taken to shut down this story from making it to the light of day, because you're already of the aware that the, quote, sleazy reporter has some bad information that's coming out. And when you take 2 years to put a story together, the thought process there is that, A, it's probably double and triple checked. And you've also turned down several requests to weigh in on this to get your thoughts out there. So I don't know, but it feels explosive, Carlin.
It does. It feels explosive. And it feels like she was trying to get out in front, whether or not she was trying to intimidate or whatever. She is certainly trying to get out in front of the story. The question is, did she kind of make it worse by drumming up a lot more interest in the story?
I'm certainly more interested. That's what we call a tease in the business.
Yes.
She teased a big story that's coming.
Absolutely. Next up, Bill Self, the Kansas head coach. How about this, Joe? Take a listen to what he said when he's asked about his team and what's been going on.
Competitor that you are, I'm sure this will stick with you, but I mean, is it something you already feel like I got to start thinking about? next season, or you got to absorb this for a little while?
Well, I think for the last month, I've been thinking about next season, to be honest. Not in the moments during the game, but, obviously we played, we had eight guys on scholarship, and we play, that were healthy there late, and, injuries are part of the game, so that's not an excuse, but we could have done a much better job as a staff putting more guys out there that we could play. And so that's something that I've thought about for a long time.
I think he was thinking about that, Joe. I did that Kansas-Houston game in the regular season finale. And Kevin McCullough was a game-time decision. He had been dealing with that bone bruise. And there were whispers around it, well, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Based on what his NBA draft prospects are going to be. And he played the first half in that game. They were getting blown out, and that's the last time we saw him. I think that he has been thinking about it because there was probably uncertainty as to whether or not the leading scorer in the Big 12 was going to be playing in the tournament.
Yeah, I'm glad we played this because some people over the weekend took this clip, a very short version, and blasted it, and then everyone reacted to it and said, oh, I can't believe the head coach isn't paying attention to what's happening. If you listen to the interview in its entirety, you get a much clearer picture, and this makes a lot more sense. Self is being honest. He's being open. It's not like he checked out on this season. What he was doing was answering a question as to how he views the mistakes he and his staff have made this year. One key point to bring up about Kansas, even when McCullough was healthy, they have had no depth this year at all. They have had an issue off the bench the entire season. That is something he's referencing here, because then they got to the dance, they lose a guy in McCullough, and they're going with a six-man rotation at altitude in Salt Lake City. And we handicapped it. We picked against them in both their games, and we covered both those spreads as a result. That's what Self is referring to. Of course he was coaching his team as hard as he could, but he's also thinking ahead to next season about the mistakes he can correct from this year, which was key, the fact that they had no bench they could rely upon.
Lastly, we've got our guy Charles Barkley and the Turner crew on Turner at CBS on Alabama's win over Grand Canyon last evening.
Grand Canyon, that was the dumbest game of basketball I think I may have ever seen. Like, everybody went one-on-one. They missed how many free throws?
They missed 17, I think it was 37. So they missed 14, 23 for 37.
But I'm not sure what they were doing offensively. I don't think they ran a play the entire second half.
I couldn't dissect one.
And, Gino was doing, he said, Gino said, this was the craziest game. I said, if he mean dumb, that was some of the dumbest basketball I've ever seen.
It is fair that they were playing without plays. I mean, even I could see that. But they, listen, that Tryon Foster kid was really good. He gave him a chance, but in the end, they were just a little bit disorganized and then turning the ball over.
Yeah, and that's going to happen. You're going up against a high-tempo, elite offense in Alabama. Teams can get jammed up there. It's Grand Canyon. They had a nice upset in the opening round. They didn't look all that great in the second round. Shout out to Charles for pointing it out, but I'm not really sure how much further to break something like that down there. You want to go ahead and rip on them? Rip on them. That's pretty much where it ends for me.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We are heading in moments to the NFL owners' meetings, where we have already seen some pretty big news come out today that is going to drastically impact the NFL next year. That is after I tell you about this from our friends at Indeed. It is the perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates, Joe. There's no better time to do that than through Indeed. And no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring. Indeed.com/credit.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
NFL owners meetings down in Orlando, Florida. We head there right now to get the very latest. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. If you're trying to find quality candidates, all the searching, screening, and interviewing can become a job itself. You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to interview, screen, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, right in the heart of Orlando, joining us right now. Dan, biggest buzz at the owners' meetings right now is?
I think the announcement of the rule change that's going to ban the, you know, one of the hip drop tackle techniques seems to be going over in an interesting way. A lot of the defensive players, as you would imagine, don't like the idea. But I think that's going to be interesting to see how that functions. The league is saying that's a high injury rate play, and they're talking about a specific tackle where, you know, you wrap up and then you kind of like sort of launch yourself into the air and swivel around and land on the guy's legs. So they felt like they needed to get that out of the game. I think as with any change like this, it's probably going to cause some confusion at the beginning. And maybe be difficult to officiate, but they felt like they saw an uptick in the use of that particular technique by 65% in 2023 over the previous year, and they felt like it was getting to the point where people were relying on it too much, and they were averaging one significant injury per game, or per week, they said. So they wanted to get that out of there.
Dan, along those lines, I watched a video of a bunch of them earlier. And I still don't know how I would define it. Is that where the confusion is going to be? Because if you're a defensive, if you're a defensive player trying to make a tackle in that split second, that's got to be incredibly difficult.
Sure, and I think that the answer to that would be, well, it's a relatively new technique, so obviously, you know how to tackle without it, right? Because I go back a couple of years, and it was not. As prevalent. So I think, you know, they have defined it very clearly. Like, it has to meet all three criteria. It has to be a swivel, like wrapping up and then swiveling your hips around and then becoming, unweighted, right? So basically, like, you're launching yourself into the air as you're tackling, and then you're just letting your whole body weight fall onto the other player's legs when you go back to the ground. So there are still, this is one of the things they emphasize, there's still such thing as a legal hip drop tackle, right? If you wrap a guy up from behind and you go to the ground with him and you haven't like launched and swiveled yourself around in midair and landed on his legs, you're still good. But they don't want, they think this is a situation where the runner, the ball carrier is defenseless, and it's a significant risk for significant injury, and they want to get rid of things that result in missed time due to injuries.
Groz, Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo talked about how the team is open to trading the third overall pick. We were having this conversation this morning. We also heard some rumors that Washington's fielding calls about number two. Given where we stand right now, everyone you've talked to, it's Bears, Commanders, Patriots. On draft day, do you feel it will be those three teams in that order drafting?
I feel pretty good about one and two. Like, I think the Commanders probably sit tight and take a quarterback. And I would say the Patriots probably do, too. I just think there's a little less there's a little more possibility of a trade out there just because, you know, they're going to be left with the third choice. If they only like two of the three guys at the top, then they shouldn't take a quarterback at three just to do it, right? If they're not all the way sold on the guy, that's a roster that has a lot of holes and could use some extra picks. So if they aren't 100% sold on one of the quarter or whichever quarterback is there for them at three, and they're getting good offers from teams that are, then I think it would be unwise for them to rule it out. So I think that's one spot. I think we all feel pretty confident we know what the Bears are going to do. I think I feel pretty confident that Washington will end up with a quarterback at that spot, although, again, they're wise to sort of listen in case someone makes them a crazy offer. But New England, I think we still don't have a real handle on what they're going to do, and it could depend on who goes one and two.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, joining Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Tomlin said this morning that Russell Wilson was in, quote, pole position in the quarterback competition. Who do you expect to be the starter week one? Yeah. That feels like semantics right there.
Well, right, but I think he made a good explanation. He's like, look, he thought it was important to establish a pecking order for the offseason, and he felt like Russell's experience in terms of, you know, he's got more years of experience in terms of managing his offseason, doing the things he needs to do to get ready and all that, so he felt like he deserved that spot. But he also made it clear that once camp opens, preseason games start, et cetera, that Justin Fields is going to get the opportunity to compete, and I don't think, just look at the contract, like, they don't owe Russell Wilson anything. Like, if Fields were to beat him out and Russell looked terrible in camp, they could just cut him, right? I mean, it's a minimum salary deal, and it wouldn't hurt them to do that. So I think you have a situation where they will be open to it being a meritocracy. I think their feeling is it's more likely that Russell wins the job, and I think I would agree with them there. But I don't think it's out of the question. And Fields is going to look really good in practice. You know, he's going to be able to take off and run and make plays that Russell can't. And I think, you know, if Russell is not the guy, like if they get to the end of camp and some of the concerns that the Broncos had about Russell the last couple of years in terms of his ability to play within structure and, you know, passing up certain throws, et cetera, if that's there and it's frustrating them then and Fields is playing well, then I don't think it's crazy to imagine that Fields could win the job.
You know, it flew under the radar given the time it took place and the story came out, but the Chiefs lost cornerback L'Jarius Sneed, who's coming off a career year. They traded him to Tennessee for a third-round pick. Uh-huh. Tennessee's going to give him the big contract. What's the buzz on the Kansas City situation down there? That's another marquee player on his way out the door because of the salary cap.
It is, but they did keep Chris Jones, and I think he became the priority because he was deemed the more irreplaceable player. The Chiefs do this. You go back, they once let Marcus Peters go, and they once let Charvarius Ward go in free agency. And now, you know, they get to a point with Sneed where they don't want to pay him what other teams are willing to pay him, so they get something for him. And 2 years ago in the 2022 draft, the Chiefs drafted five defensive backs, three of which were corners, one of which was Trent McDuffie, who they believe is ready to take over for Sneed as that number one cornerback. So they really believe in their coaching staff, Steve Spagnuolo and his coaching staff's ability to draft and develop these guys into star players. They feel like they've been proven right over and over again. And I think that's just sort of how they treat the cornerback position. I think they want to draft and develop. And, you know, I could imagine a situation in 2 years where you're saying, well, what are they doing letting Trent McDuffie go? But, you know, if that is in fact what happens, then I think the answer would be, well, they feel like they have a replacement. And that's where it came to with Sneed. They just didn't feel like they wanted to give him the contract he was looking for, so they found a team that would. They get a third-round pick out of it, and onward they go with the plan that's worked out for them pretty well so far.
Live from the owners' meetings in Orlando, he is Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, and as always, compelling and rich. Thank you, Dan.
Well, compelling, if nothing else. Thank you.
The information, compelling and rich, that's for sure.
Without question.
How about this? Well, not all that surprising. Little Shohei Ohtani news. A little bit of Shohei Ohtani news.
Breaking news.
This is from Alden Gonzalez of ESPN. Shohei Ohtani will not be taking questions from the media. Instead, he will read a statement at 2:45 p.m. Pacific time, 5:45 p.m. Eastern time. That is not remotely surprising.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be taking any questions either.
There is no way a lawyer would allow him to.
I think everyone involved in this has done just enough talking for a one weekend.
You know what, fellas? Fire away. What do you got?
Let me ask you this, though. If it's a prepared statement, does he make it and then the interpreter translates it, or does the interpreter just give it?
I don't know. I think probably the interpreter would give it, wouldn't he? If we're trying to establish that the interpreter's role is incredibly important, I would think that's the case.
I would think Ohtani gives it because there's got to be Japanese-speaking media that covers
true.
The Dodgers. So my guess would be Ohtani gives the statement in Japanese and then the interpreter translates it to English.
That's probably
huge
true.
Edge for the Japanese media. Huge edge. They can fire off the tweets much faster than the American media who does not speak Japanese. Big strategic advantage in the tweet wars.
I hope somebody was hitting their Duolingo if they are practicing that today, if they are trying to pay attention and get those tweets out quickly to know exactly what he said. But we'll find out. I mean, listen, I think that's an excellent way of putting it for Ev. I have never been bright enough to take two different languages, so I will sit there in ignorance.
Yeah, not sure anyone was asking or wondering about that. Like, I wonder how many languages Carlin knows. Well, he just kind of got to the point of semi-mastery on English.
Speaking of statements, Deion Sanders made one over the weekend that could absolutely change the NFL draft next season. That's next on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The 2024 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
Are you ready?
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit, Michigan.
The Detroit Lions select.
It all begins with round one, Thursday, April 25th.
The NFL Draft is now officially open.
The countdown rolls on. The 2024 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Now, this is not a criticism of any sort, but just a second ago, during our time away, I'm looking at some of the coaches who were talking today. I see Robert Saleh, and he has got a thick, dark beard. Joe, he has got to be hitting the just for men, no?
I haven't seen the picture. You're of the impression that he's dyeing his beard.
All right, so I literally just tweeted it because I want to get the feel for other people. It's got to be. I mean, you're the coach of the Jets. You've got stress in your life.
Well, he's got no hair on his head.
Right. But he's grown a thick, lustrous black beard. And I mean, it's almost too black. You know, like sometimes you look at a color and it's too rich and like, he's got to be coloring it. No.
I'm always going to aim benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give him benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Until he comes out and says otherwise. He doesn't strike. Why would he? He's already shaven his head.
Yeah.
Why would he need to dye the beard? Like, they, when you're in as good a shape as he is, any guy, when you're in great shape and you have the chiseled jawline, you can get away with anything else. Baldness, grayness, they'll call you a silver fox. When you're in great shape, everything looks good.
I mean, listen, let's call it what it was. If he, even if he had a little gray in there, probably he would get a couple of zaddy comments at some point. Would he not?
Zaddy?
I mean, that's a good-looking older man, but he's not even old. He's in his 40s.
I don't get the reference. What does that mean?
Zaddy's like, an attractive older man. That's what it is.
What?
Daddy. That's kind of... Never mind.
No. We're going to dig down on this a little bit. Does anyone know what he's referring to? No. You guys are shaking your heads?
I've heard it.
Zaddy.
Zaddy. Yeah.
What? And what does it mean?
What he said, just like some older gentleman who's a daddy, but like zaddy.
Why? Someone
it's
has to give me the why.
Another way
like,
of
it's
saying.
A young generation thing, you know. Yeah. They like to come up with words that they can claim.
Okay, good. Claim it. Tell me the why. Why is it that, though? That's the thing. No one has a why for anything anymore. You throw it against the wall, and then it's like, okay, that's clever. I can get behind that. Why is that? Oh, I don't know. We didn't have a reason for it. Well, then I'm not getting behind it. There's got to be a reason, even if it's stupid. Give me a reason.
Well, my overall point here is simply this. The bald part of it does not tell the age story anymore. You can lose your hair in your 20s. I just think it looks very thick. Like, for instance, you know, I have known several people who will continue to deny that they are coloring their hair, but they absolutely are. And to me, hey, own who you are. That's all. Like, you're probably coloring a little bit, right?
No, I got gray everywhere.
Oh, okay. Well, good enough.
I don't know if anyone wants your opinion on anything in this situation here.
Well, because
frankly,
I live an authentic life. Here. What you see is what you get.
No one was doubting that. There wasn't a single time I've looked at you and thought, he's full of it.
Oh, my God. Carlin's got to be hitting that Botox. That's what you're thinking about me.
Evan may have gotten to the bottom of something here.
It appears the origin of the Z is unclear, but it may represent the idea of being, quote, the ultimate daddy, as Z is the last letter of the alphabet.
Ah. Well, there you go. There's your explanation. You're not buying it, but
no, I'm sorry. That's not going to suffice.
Are
for
you
me.
Further away?
Yeah. So it makes you the ultimate because it's last. Since when have we ever rewarded last?
It's a younger generation thing.
There's some alternate spellings where if you spell it in Yiddish, it means grandfather. So Zaddy in Yiddish, grandfather.
There you go.
Okay. So that's right there. If that's why we're using it because he looks gray, so we're referring to him as a grandfather, that's a reason I can get behind it. Makes some sense.
That's pronounced Zaddy, by the way. Just as somebody who grew up in a house where my mom spoke
Yiddish. I am surrounded by idiots. Everyone's got a line for this. No one has an explanation or a reason. You all keep throwing things at me. Like, Carlin, you keep saying it's a younger generation thing.
Yeah.
Great. Great. Thank you for telling me the who. Now give me the why.
Well, I don't know why. I'm not of the younger generation. But it's just something that came out of it.
I don't think
either. Handman's the one that should know this, if I can throw him right back under the bus.
No, Handman's actually trying to dig up some... I mean, John Hamm, I see, is listed as one of the examples here.
Yes,
that's
a zaddy right there, from what I can gather.
This is a disaster.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Some people might think that Deion is a zaddy. And Deion Sanders is speaking over the weekend. He was on the $1 million worth of game podcast. And Joe, as we know, his son Shadur, Mel Kiper already told us recently that he's going to be one of the top draft picks next season, maybe the number one overall pick. And Travis Hunter, the other big-time player at Colorado who went from Jackson, both of those guys going to be in the draft next year. Listen to Deion about the possibilities.
Where do you predict Shadur and Travis going in the draft?
Top four.
Ooh, that's pretty beautiful.
Anywhere from one through four. One of them is going to be one. The latter one would not go behind four. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't going to happen. It's going to be an Eli.
So we're back at that next year. Look forward to it if the wrong teams are in pole position for certain draft picks up at the top of the draft.
That's fascinating to me, but this is a guy who understands power. I mean, he's been in both positions. He knows what it's like to be a highly recruited prospect. He understands the power that comes with that. He's lived it. He's been through it. He's been coaching. He understands the entire dynamic of everything that's taking place. People might take exception to this. Deion understands the business of football. He does it very, very well. He was the guy who, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but there's this famous story about how he went in for a meeting with one of the teams when he was coming out of Florida State.
It was the Giants.
I believe it was the Giants, right. And I don't know where they were drafting, but they handed him some personality test they wanted him to take. And he flipped through it, and it was like 100 pages. It was hundreds of questions. And he looks at this thing, and he just looks at the guy who gave it to him, and he asks him flat out, I'm sorry, where are you guys drafting at? And they said something like 15. We're at 15. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to be long gone before you guys are even on the clock. And he just hands him back the test and leaves the room. Now, maybe some of that has been embellished over the years. But point being, he knew what he needed to do and he knew what he didn't need to do. He had a very keen understanding of what his value was. And he's got an understanding of what of the two players at Colorado. He's talking about his son and Travis Hunter as well. He's got an understanding of their value. Some of the other stuff he said regarding the cold weather, I don't know. He is trying to sell a book, so maybe he's trying to draw some attention here.
Well, at the same time, I took that to mean if you are the Carolina Panthers and you're going to punt on Bryce Young after this year and you're back in position to draft a quarterback, maybe don't bother with Shuter.
There you go.
Because if it's also got to be some of those places where you have not had success developing a quarterback. I don't think Deion lets that happen.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.